Federal law enforcement and investigative agencies depend on confidential informants. Agencies that use them have to choose their informants and handle them with care, though. They've got rules. Acting on tips of its own, the Justice Department Inspector General took a look at how the Drug Enforcement Administration handled some of its confidential informants. Joining me with more, IG Michael Horowitz. Great to have you back.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you for having me.
All right, so what is it that caused you to look into this in the first place?
Well, we started our review on the DEA's use of confidential sources after learning about its use of a couple of sources, in particular one former Amtrak employee, and two TSA employees as well.
I guess that sounds unusual to use federal employees as informants when everybody's in the same government together.
That's right, and what was going on in those instances was DEA was looking to use those individuals as informants and then give them rewards for information that they provided to DEA that led to DEA money seizures.
So they were able to get good results out of this information, but it, I guess, is the implication that those employees, especially those that were currently employed by the government and not retired, should do that anyhow as a matter of public duty.
That's right. That was indeed our finding that, for example, with regard to the Amtrak employee, DEA paid that employee during a 20-year period over $800,000 in reward monies, even though they could have been able to get that information for free.
From what I understand, DEA agents can be pretty hard-boiled, tough-minded people. Why didn't they say, look, jerk, you work for the same government. I'm not going to pay you to tell me what you should do anyway as a part of your everyday job.
Well, I'm not sure why they didn't do that. Obviously, from the work they do, they are signing up informants often to help them with the undercover operations. Many of them are very challenging, very difficult. In this instance, though, it was clear to us as we did this work and DEA managers, administrators stopped this when they learned about it. So I think here it was pretty clear that DEA should not have been paying federal employees. And in particular, the Amtrak situation showed the dollars involved. But for the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration employees, that also raised potential Fourth Amendment issues because those individuals are doing screening to protect the airlines and our flights and are not there to do screening on behalf of DEA.
So what is their obligation, I guess, in general, if they see something that they believe might be of interest to a DEA or some other law enforcement agency to speak up?
Well, their obligation, of course, if they see weapons or contraband, is to stop that person and stop the luggage from going anywhere. And they're obviously free to tell the police about what they see. The problem here is that they were being given direction by the DEA on what to look for and to then call them. So as opposed to doing their work and doing their jobs as they do day to day, our concern was potentially being turned into agents of the DEA.
And one question that comes up is you publicize these at the OIG website, even though they were administrative misconduct and not criminal. What was the motivation there?
We changed our policy several months ago to post our findings of administrative misconduct when they involve high-level government officials and where there's a strong public interest in doing so. And we thought in this instance that there was a strong interest in the public seeing what had occurred here.
So maybe if FBI sees that, they'll say, I'm going to follow the rules and not pay other federal employees. And I guess that leads to the question about the DEA. The larger question is that it looks as if their policies for paid informants or confidential informants were maybe less stringent than the department, the Justice Department as a whole?
That's precisely the concern, Tom, that we had in light of what we were seeing here with both the TSA and Amtrak situation, which caused us to initiate a full audit of how DEA was handling its informant policies and its confidential sources. And we issued an interim report earlier last year and are completing that audit now. And in our interim report, we found a series of issues with how DEA was managing its informants with regard to its policies not being consistent with the Attorney General guidelines on the handling of informants, with its failure to review how it was handling informants who were long-term informants, with its decision, which we found very surprising, to pay some informants, disability, and to their family's death benefits.
We're speaking with Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the Justice Department. And with respect to handling, such as paying death benefits, what are agencies supposed to do? What are the elements of good handling that would be applying to all agencies that use confidential informants?
One of the things that has been particularly important at the Justice Department, particularly in light of some of the significant concerns that have been made public over the years, including, for example, the Whitey Bulger situation and others involving the use of informants, is the Attorney General, 2 decades ago, put in guidelines on how the FBI and other DOJ law enforcement agencies are supposed to go about vetting potential informants, considering carefully whether it's appropriate to sign up an informant, and then making sure that informant decisions, signing them up, payments, use, are reviewed regularly, particularly for those who are long-term informants. Informants who have been, for example, in the DA's case, used for 6 years or more, so that there's regular reviews of their files to make sure the payments are appropriate, to make sure the use is appropriate, and to make sure, you know, as we saw in the Bulger situation, that the agents aren't getting too close to the informants and using them in improper ways.
And also, I imagine that the informants are still productive.
That's correct. There's a concern with having individuals on the DEA's payroll or any agency's payroll and potentially receiving rewards if they're either providing unreliable or useless information.
I'm in the middle of reading an article in the Atlantic Monthly about the DEA and the long case that it had with the Mexican drug cartels, one of them. And a longtime informant there ended up really at the bad end of being found out and was killed in a brutal manner. And so you mentioned death benefits a moment ago. What is the agency's obligation or what are the guidelines for taking care, say, of the family of an informant that is killed in the course of being an informant?
That's an excellent question. And the issue here arises because what every law enforcement agency, certainly the Justice Department, makes clear to informants it signs up is that they are not, in fact, employees of the agency. They are paid rewards, they can be supported financially, but they're not being paid as employees. They don't have Social Security taken out, for example. They don't have FICA taxes for disability, for example, taken out of their payments. They are not employees. And that's important also in criminal cases because, having been myself a federal prosecutor earlier in my career, we make clear to defense counsel, the court, the judges, the juries, that the individuals who are testifying as informants for the DEA, the FBI, or other law enforcement agencies are not employees of the agencies.
So I guess if you're a good fella and you're also on the pay of federal law enforcement, you really are in no man's land and you take your chances.
You're, in essence, an independent contractor. You're certainly not an employee. We were surprised to see DEA paying what we found were 17 confidential sources over $1 million in what are FICA benefits, Federal Employee Compensation Act benefits, and they are clearly not employees. When we made that finding, the DEA immediately suspended that program and is not paying anybody as of today.
I wanted to get back to that question of what if a federal employee sees something that is not within his or her immediate jurisdiction, but they feel it might be that of another agency. Are there legal strictures against passing that information in some cases, or are they obligated to do so, or is it within their discretion? Suppose a TSA officer sees something, well, they can stop the person from getting on the plane or stop the luggage, but what if it's a bunch of contraband AK-47s or something? Are they obligated, or can they tell another agency?
Well, I don't have familiarity with TSA's policy specifically, but I'm confident that what occurs in situations like that is that the line agent or the line employee or the TSA security officer at the line that we all encounter as we go through security at airports is obligated to not only immediately stop that luggage from going anywhere, but to then elevate it to their supervisors so that they can make a decision as to how to proceed. I'm confident that if it was obvious contraband, you know, as you described, that would be reported immediately to the airport police and law enforcement would take it from there. There are obviously more challenging decisions sometimes to be made if there's cash, for example, in someone's luggage, large amounts of cash, decisions would need to be made as to whether that's sufficient to take action with regard to the person. And oftentimes what occurs, as we know from going through security, is that TSA officers often engage in a dialogue with the person. So there'd probably end up being a lot more information developed for a supervisor at some point to make that decision.
But there's no legal restriction on that interagency transfer of information.
Correct.
And getting back to the DEA itself, what is their reaction to your report, and are they making changes, so far as you can tell, to their informant policies?
They have reacted immediately and responsively to what we recommended and the suggestions we made. As I indicated, they immediately ended this program where they were paying FICA benefits. They've immediately undertaken a review of their review policies on how they review informant files. We actually saw that evolving as we were doing our audit. One of the things we make sure we do is, as we find significant issues like this, even though we're still mid-audit and we haven't finalized our recommendations or our thinking or even completed our factual findings, we nevertheless obviously want to make sure that the management at the agency can take action immediately to correct some significant issues. And so we saw, even during the course of our audit, efforts taken by DEA to start revising their policies. And I'd say the same for the department itself. When we briefed them, they recognized the significance of these also. And so my understanding is the department at the Deputy Attorney General's office is working with the DEA to make sure their policies are revised and are in line with the Attorney General guidelines.
Michael Horowitz is Inspector General at the Justice Department. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
It's been great. Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.